بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. It is that period of the year where many masajids, institutions, ulama are giving bayans about the sirat of Janab-e Pak Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In reality, the subject matter of the noble master sallallahu alaihi wasallam supposed to be discussed, repeated, enacted, reminded on a daily basis. But nonetheless, when speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have to conclude this fact that the mind that thinks about him is impure, the heart that thinks about him is impure, the mouth that tries to articulate words of praise for him is also impure. So with so much of incompetencies, we attest to the fact that we're not worthy to talk about Janab-e Pak Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather it is a gift from Allah Ta'ala that He gives an individual an opportunity to mention the word Allah, to mention the word Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's in the hope of this that by taking the name of Allah, by taking the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then those shortcomings, Allah Ta'ala will remedy them. In reality, to praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the limited tools that we have, we don't have it. But we can look at it from this way, as the poet says, "Ma in madahtu Muhammadan bimaqalati, walakin madahtu maqalati bimuhammadi." I cannot praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with my words, but rather when I took the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then my words became praised. In this talk, surrounding another angle of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I too want to say that this talk cannot add any brightness to the sun like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, the talk of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will add some brightness to dark bodies like myself. The Muslim ummah is an ummah that used to think, respected listeners, we have a constitution called Quran, and we have a master mind. We have a master mind, the master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose thinking capacity is superior to every human being's. If the intellect of human being was divided into 100 portions, then the balance of human beings enjoy only 1%. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has 99%, 100%. So our derivative, our genealogy, our link up is with the Quran, with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So naturally, when you link up to a fountain of fresh water, the drink that you get also is also something that is very healthy. Our chain is very strong, and Muslims were thinking caps of this ummah. We have to understand this, that where we coming from, where we are now. So now, when the Muslim ummah, that means the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will constantly go to their source, they will constantly turn for solutions to their origins, you'll find out that they will come out 10 out of 10 all the time on top. But unfortunately, in this time, is the ummah really coming out 10 out of 10? Rather, it is minus 10. Are they on the winning side of life? Is there real progress or retrogression that is taking place? So today, we're going to explore what are the techniques, what is the methodology, to put it in political terms of vindictiveness, what is the modus operandi? What is the modus operandi to derail Muslims away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One such particular method would be to directly annihilate, destroy through carnages and through mass killings, which doesn't need any elaboration on this minbar. We know what's happening. So one such tool is that. Another one to dissuade and to get Muslims out of that superior thinking and link up with its superior sources is to invite them away from Islam to apostasy, to turn renegade. In other words, once a Junaid, now a Jonathan. Once a Sumayya, now a Samantha. To renounce Islam. So there's a great amount of effort that is being made in different parts of the world to get people to turn their back on Islam. Then there are other more subtle tools that are being used. This is where we come in. We may not be attacked with bombs, as we described in the destroying plot. We might not be invited directly away from Islam because of our strong Islamic hold in Overport and Durban. But this following few that I'm going to describe to you, in reality, is where we are getting caught in the rat trap. And that is to present Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as one who is not subscribable anymore. That means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as an ummati, we should understand he is the last prophet, but in his methodology and his life, it is a vote of no confidence. That means Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was good enough for 1400 years ago and is not good enough for now. And at the same time, another tool that is used. No, you know what? He's there, he's good. But you don't have to bring him into every work of your life. See, this is another tool. To create a modern thinking type of Muslim who will subscribe to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam like once a year or twice a year. I got to go to Medina Sharif and look, hey, it's important that I must have a frame of Medina in my house, and the Prophet used to feed people, so I got to feed people. So that's my link up with the Prophet, and there's a pat on the back for that. But the rest of the things of Islam and life and day-to-day works, be it nikah, be it business, be it social interaction, character, etc., that's for me to figure my way out, because this is the modern era. So that particular person, when you talk to him about following Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'll say, what you talking about? I spent the whole of Ramadan in Umrah, bhai. What you talking about? I practically make 1,000 durood a day. So it creates a kind of a balance in his mind that he is with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't come on the face of this earth so that we must visit him once or twice a year, or if you got visas that we can be there every month. By all means, if you can go every week, go. No problem. I'm not attacking that field of going for Umrah. Don't misunderstand me. But to think that my visit to him or my subscribing to him in this way is sufficient is like a person saying that, you know what, I love my parents. So what? You know what? I actually took him for a holiday in the Father's Day month. You know, I love my mother to bits, man. For Mother's Day, I took her to one of the local jewelry shops and told her, Mom, choose any set you want. You see how much I love my mother. I love my wife. You know, she's the apple of my eye. what you did, you know, I gave her a blank check on Valentine's Day. Is that what love for a mother is? Is that what love for a father is? Is that what love for a wife is? Just once in a while to tap and to tap, you know, like out of this world, and then after that it's just me, myself and I. So the disconnect that is being projected in this world, we as Muslims in Durban, we don't realize we are falling for it. Our makeup and our understanding is coming from another direction. We are Muslims 100%, bear testimony to the iman of a person that comes to the masjid. So the listeners and the ones that are sitting and the one that is speaking, we don't doubt that we got iman. That's not the question here. The idea is, do I have a commonality of vision with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Am I viewing life through the same spectacles as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in viewed life? Do I have a unified perspective? Is there a shared purpose with me and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Is there a collective understanding? Or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is on one road, I understand him, but I'm on my own road. This is what we got to learn through Seerah Jalsa. To repeat the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is commendable. What a wonderful man was born. To repeat the Nabuwat, what a wonderful person came on the face of this earth. But what is the objective? How I can be reborn? How a metamorphosis and an inside change around can come into me that I become more of a Muhammadi than just a Muhammad? In other words, don't just be the person that has the talk. I got to now imbibe the walk. This is what the purpose of this talk is. So the big question I'm repeating is that how much am I gelling with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Have I succumbed to the inferiority complex narrative that is out there? That the Prophet of Allah, na'uzu billah as they say, was a man that lived when there was no technology. Do you know there were no vehicles in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There were no computers. There were no cell phones. Everything that will equate to progress in this time was absent in that time. So based on that particular proof, so to say, they discount Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And I give you a very rash example. You know, once, this doesn't happen in reality, it's just to understand, you see. The dolphin was taken to the jungle. And the lion or the cheetah had a conversation with the dolphin. Did you know how fast and agile I am? I can run through the forests and through the jungles and savannah, and I can hunt and do things when you won't even move 2 centimeters. So the dolphin turned around and gave an answer. And he said that, look, you're judging me out of my environment. Why don't we take a walk to the ocean and then we'll see who's who in the zoo. Here you brought me to a jungle that's not my environment. That's why I can't swim. There's no water. But put me in the blue ocean and see how you drown and how I move ahead. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the template that they're using of whether he's on progress or not is based on cell phones. Okay. If that's what you want to do, and you're talking of communication being something that judges a person, then show me one of the most advanced cell phones that can speak to an angel. Nabi of Allah spoke to an angel. If we're talking of modes of transport to be the sign of progress, then show me one space shuttle that can come out of the atmosphere, lithosphere, stratosphere, and take you to Sidratul Muntaha. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. And then after that, the Miraj, after the Isra. If that's what you're judging the Nabi of Allah on, then his transport was the Buraq. Which vehicle can equate to that?
So end of the day, the argument is flawed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is par excellence. As they say it in Persian language, Baad az khuda buzruk tuhe kissa mukhtasar. Obviously the creation and the creator cannot be compared. But in ranks of grandeur, if you want to take a comparison, then Allah is Allah as the creator, and then from the creation, ranking head and the one that is a fountainhead of all piety and the leader of humanity is none other than Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is being projected? What is being taught to us subtly or directly through the different facilities that we are exposed to? In simple terms, West is best, white is right. Listen, West is best, white is right. And what your prophet brought for you, that's okay now and then, you know, you can tap on it when you need to be religious. The whole idea, not of education, of secular education. Education is one thing, secular education is something else. We all have access to dictionaries. Secular means to create an ungodly mind. A mind that won't subscribe to anything that is divine. It won't tap into something that is true, something that is legit, something that has got a focus in which humanity can be uplifted. So, my dear friends, when this is happening, a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's such a beautiful human being, who's awesome and handsome, is being made to look like a spanner in the works. The Nabi of Allah is being made to look like one that is an impediment. His way of life, to those people that have got certain agendas in front of them, they have made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the big impediment in their life. Why? Upon the coming of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with the divine constitution of Quran Kareem, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. هَكَذَا, so many references to the great nature of the Quran Kareem. This man, when he came on the face of this earth, him and his constitution stopped interest. They stopped gambling. They stopped fornication. They stopped music. They stopped alcohol. They stopped intermingling. And so many other things that were rife in society. The coming of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with his Mubarak book, the book Sharia alayhi salam, brings Quran and presents it after getting it from Jibril Amin. The Nabi of Allah is looked as an impediment. Because Muhammad came and suddenly people are not interested in interest. Muhammad came and gambling no more takes place in whatever form. Muhammad came and suddenly there's no fornication, there's matrimony, and people are looking to that divine institution. Now the question would come about, how is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's abrogation and erasing the following things that I mentioned, interest, gambling, fornication, how does it impact on their agenda? You see, when a person is in interest, then in reality he's a ghulam, he's a servant. No matter how you want to explain it to me, end of the day, when a person gets involved in interest, then when you tell him to jump, he will ask you, how high? You tell him to run, he will ask you how far. You tell him to sit, he'll ask you how long. My dear friends, these are the tools to put a leash and a noose around humanity. A human being that is in alcohol. As I said in the beginning, I'm just rewinding to my opening statement. A Muslim was a thinker, you see. But if the Muslim is involved in alcohol, If a Muslim is involved in zina, do you realize what clouds his mind after that? How many a person who was an affluent businessman and he got involved in unda danda? You know what that means? He's doing wrong things, got involved in zina. Suddenly you find the person losing all his wealth. If he was worth 100 million, that woman only spent 2 million of his money. What happened to the 98 million? She didn't spend that. But because he got involved in zina, automatically the focus on what he's supposed to be making the profits, and he lost focus of the real Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there you find his whole business collapses. So the tools to eradicate focus, the tools to remove human beings and especially Muslims from becoming progressive are these tools. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes with the Quran Kareem. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِسْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ and so forth and so on. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا لَا تَأْكُلُ الرِّبَا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just cut it from the root. And these people are sitting in gay abandon. Wow, what happened? Our entire plot and plan, which was our game to control human being, this man comes and his people comes, and I quote it how they say, him and his ilk, na'uzu billah, him and his sahaba. So him and his ilk came and they spoiled our game, they upset our party. In Durban language, he was a party pooper. Na'uzu billah. This is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is viewed. And oh my respected listeners, anyone that subscribes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a serious perpetuated basis, he is viewed with the same eye. That you, O Muslim, you're a spanner in the works. Excuse me, I'm a bit under the weather these days. Change of seasons and I don't agree. Allah give us all shifa. Coming back to the mainstream. So Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his way of life. لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. He's an excellent example. And I was just thinking, you know, there's young people here. How can I give this example of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taking us to a journey? And my mind went to a GPS system. Whether you want to call it Google Maps or Waze or whatever you got. You see, that Google Maps, when you punch in there, I want to go to 139 Crescent Street. That's our address, isn't it? I want to go to Masjid-e-Hilal. Hilal Masjid. I need to make Jummah there. So, whether I'm leaving Isipingo, Stanger, Pietermaritzburg, or coming from Johannesburg and I'm coming to Hilal, throughout that journey, who's doing the talking? Is it me or that machine? It's the machine, isn't it? But did anybody throughout that journey feel that this machine is governing me? We didn't look at it like that. Rather, we looked at it as a tool and a mechanism that is getting me to a destination in which my needs will be seen to. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my dear friends, when he said, take this, leave that, Quran also advocates the same thing. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Turn right. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Turn around. You see how it goes. It's a GPS, it's guiding us. So like we don't view the GPS system as a threat to reach our destination, that what SIM card they're putting in our mind and the propaganda that they're putting on our mind, we need to take that and throw it out. And adopt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the greatest well-wisher that Allah ta'ala ever sent on the face of this earth. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, his mannerism, his ways and way of life will make a smooth sailing way of life for me on the face of this earth. It will help me at that time when nobody else can lend a hand at the time of death. His system and teachings and sunnah will assist me when I'm alone in the qabr. And on that day,
يوم يفر المرء من أخي وأمه وأبي وصاحبته وبني لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغني وجوه يومئذ مسفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة ووجوه يومئذ عليها غبرة ترهقها قترة. Entire scene of Qiyamah and what will be the helter-skelter situation, people going hither-thither. On that day, nobody, not Adam Safiullah, not Nuh, Najiullah, not Ibrahim, Khalilullah, not Ismail, Zabihullah, not Musa, Kalimullah, not Isa, Ruhullah. One person, Muhammad Habibullah comes to the rescue. So this is the merit of this individual whom we are being targeted to leave behind. That the Nabi of Allah, I love him, and that's sufficient. The statement that I love the Nabi of Allah is not sufficient. All of us should say, I love Nabi of Allah. Don't doubt me when I'm saying that it's not sufficient. It means that there has to be some type of loyalty to the statement that I love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq proved it. Ayun kasuddin wa ana hay. Can a deficiency come into deen and I'm alive? Farooq-e-Azam proved it. Usman-e-Ghani proved it. Ali karramallahu wajhahu, he's being told by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sleep in my bed. He proved it. Musab bin Umair proved it. Talha bin Barra proved it. Sumayya radiallahu anha proved it. So this is my opportunity to prove myself to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do I do the proving? We're not proving to other people. We need to prove to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My proof will be this, that on a daily basis there are things I can do. Would the template, SIM card, sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are so many things that I can just leave his sunnah out and blatantly ignore it. How much do I really bring Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make his ittiba to earn the love of Allah in my life? That is the test. This is ayatul imtihan. It is a verse of test upon us. So on my culminating points, because you people have got work to do, some of you are elderly, you need to rest, etc., etc., my aim and objective is not to overstep the mark. Inshallah, everything will finish on time. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, who by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we managed to sit by his feet for a few seconds, Allah Ta'ala fill his kabar ud nur. Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi, on one occasion, if not many occasions, mentioned something on how we can get progress in our life with regards to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the deen. And I need you to have a cool mind for what I'm about to explain. Because we from one masjid, we from one locality, so I'm an in-house person, isn't it? Or you view me as a stranger boy? Right. That's my son, so you... My brothers, Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, you all know he was a brilliant man. He was a thinker and he had it all there, alhamdulillah. And his ending proves that, you know. So Maulana said something which I want to share with you. And he said, see, I'm putting it in my words, that you inspect yourself where you are with regards to the connection of Allah, connection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For some of us that are seated here, including the one on the minbar, and those listening over the receivers, we've achieved wilayat and connection and subscription to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as far as our insight goes. You following me? In other words, sublime character, obedient, cooperative, wonderful demeanor. You can't flaw the person. He's an individual who's like a cool glass of water on a hot day. For lack of a better example at this moment, that is coming. He's a fine human being. So you get that individual who's achieved that. When you look at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way of life and him on the inside, alhamdulillah, he's dynamic. He's the man. So Maulana advises this individual that your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not complete. You need to now project that inward propelling factor within you to the outside. That means Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also had a zahir sunnah, That means something that was apparent, I need to bring him in my life. So that's the first explanation. Hold your horses, I'm coming to the next part. Then you get the individual, alhamdulillah. As far as Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam on the outside, whatever needed to be done, be it imama, be it kufiya, topi, and beard, and pants above the ankle, and whatever goes with following Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his day-to-day life, he has mastered it, and alhamdulillah, you know, he just resembles the Sahaba, mashallah, subhanallah, and we give him 10 out of 10 for that. So Maulana Patel Rahmatullah Ali says, see, you also got some homework to do, my brother. Like we explained to that man who still has to reach the full first beard level, like we explained to that man who still has to adjust his hair from a funky haircut to something that is sunnat orientated, like we explained to that man who's dressed like the Western who thinks they are best, we explained to him, bring your inside to the outside. We've got homework for you also, my brother. That bring that outside of Nabi Ali Salam into your inside and follow his noble akhlaq. Wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. So in this brief, what you call talk or bayan, whatever it is, there's some homework for us to do. There's something that we've got. Each person work on himself, and those listening over the receivers, you work on yourself, and I should work on myself. Where are my potholes in life? Where do I need to put some polyfiller? Where am I lacking with regards to my allegiance to my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to my beloved Ahmad Mujtaba Muhammad Mustafa Sarkar Alam sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And with a minute or so on my side, alhamdulillah, we have a very rich legacy, effort carrying on in our Overport Durban region. And I salute the ulama for this. They've done some fine work and allowed us to progress. Number one, we have the facility of Jamaat and Tabligh. Take full advantage of this effort of deen, my brothers. Because the focus is on Sahaba who love Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there'll be great amount of progress in working in the Jamaat effort. The kitab of the Jamaat effort is Fadail-e Amal, Fadail-e Sadaqat. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali wrote this kitab for this particular reason, that how once again we can fall in love with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ways of the Sahaba. Then we have the effort of the Khanqa, what we say Zikr Majlis and Suluk and Tazkiyah. Join these people by all means to the best of your ability. If you need to take bayat, but by all means make our Islah. Then we have adult classes in our own masjid, it's still carrying on. Then we have waaz and nasihat of the ulama that are coming around. Then we have the daily talim in our masjid. And we have ijtima. And we have different overnight programs that ulama are having for our betterment to bridge this gap that we want to achieve. If that's still we getting to it, my friends, there's wonderful kitab, Siratul Mustafa, that has been abridged. We can read that. Uswaya Rasul, we can read that. There's kitabs that are written in user-friendly English, no more the high professor English. So, we as the people who are leaving this majlis now, we have got homework to do. Let us once again find out where am I, who am I, and where am I heading to. Let us not fall for the trap of the West who thinks they are best and view our solid, legit facilities as backward and outdated, na'udhu billah, and come back once again to the mainstream. Insha'Allah, if we make a firm determination to follow Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect of our life will run smoothly, the death will be smooth, the qabr will be smooth, and on that day when we need help, Nabi alayhi salam won't say, suhkan, suhkan, away with you, I got nothing to do with you, we don't gel, but rather, there will be some rapport because we stood by him now. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will stand by us then. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanallah.